I think the worst that's happened up here in the bigger snows is that there's been a car or two that's been buried in the snow and actually ends up being picked up by one of the loaders and kind of rolled up onto the top of a snow pile.
Do you know your snow plow etiquette? KHNS goes to the snowy streets to find out. The White Pass Railroad raises the rates on the Minto Mine. It's the KHNS News. I'm Burn Power. Those stories and more coming up. The White Pass Railroad in Skagway has recently raised its rates on ore shipments from the Minto Copper Mine in Canada. Vic Uschenko from Whitehorse has the story.
White Pass leases the Skagway waterfront from the town. That's given the railroad control of shipping through Skagway for the past 110 years. Now White Pass is hiking fees it charges for handling copper ore from the Yukon's Minto mine. Minto boss Stephen Quinn says options exist for shipping their product, but he's hoping the dispute can be settled.
We could ship to Stewart or we could ship to the railhead. There's always options, but it doesn't make a lot of sense when Skagway's right where it is.
Town officials, too, are hoping the dispute can be settled peacefully. Skagway lawyers are currently trying to renew the town's own waterfront lease with White Pass. They fear the Minto dispute will sour its negotiations with the railroad. Tom Smith is town manager.
We just hope that it can be resolved. It's something that is causing, you know, a bit of concern because we want to have peace and harmony and good operations at our port.
White Pass officials aren't commenting about the dispute. The rail company currently pays about $125,000 a year for its waterfront lease. It expires in just 12 years. Vic Uschenko, CBC News, Whitehorse.
The headquarters of Southeast Alaska's Regional Native Corporation recently converted its heating system from fuel oil to wood pellet technology. The project is the first of several building conversions planned for the region. As Maria Dudzak reports, if enough demand is created, this could lead to a new industry in Southeast Alaska.
In November, Sea Alaska Corporation installed the first commercial biomass boiler in the state at its headquarters in Juneau. Nate Soboloff, the renewable energy manager for Ha'ani, a subsidiary of the Sea Alaska Corporation, spoke during a Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce luncheon on Wednesday about the success of the recent conversion and the economic opportunities wood pellet technology could bring to Southeast. Soboloff says the new biomass boiler has eliminated the need for 35,000 gallons of fuel oil per year, and energy costs are expected to be reduced by about $1 million over the next 25 years. The fuel pellets are made from wood byproducts of other industries. Soboloff says wood pellets are low in moisture, burn efficiently, and create very little waste. He says they are also carbon neutral, creating very few emissions.
Burning wood only emits one-tenth of the carbon as burning a fossil fuel, and that's because you are using an existing carbon that's circulating within the environment within one time cycle instead of, you know, tens or thousands of burning, you know, old dinosaurs, that kind of stuff.
Sam Bergeron of Synergy Systems, another subsidiary of Sea Alaska, helped with the installation of the biomass boiler in Juneau. Bergeron says he held his hand over the smokestack when the boiler was fired up and was surprised by how clean burning the system was.
The only thing that you could feel coming out, and there was no visible smoke at all, it felt like warm air, and it smelled like warm air coming out of a room that had a lot of wood in it. And you could pull your hand back and smell your hand, and there was no residual smell. And so it was really phenomenal. And so I'm really happy and proud to be a part of this project. And I'm proud to see Alaska to be on the advent of the beginning of the biomass industry in Alaska, or in Southeast Alaska.
Bergeron says he's excited about the technology and sees this as an opportunity to start a new industry. Soboloff says because there are no production plants locally, wood pellets for the Sea Alaska building are currently being barged in from Seattle or Prince Rupert. Looking at figures from a 2009 study conducted by the Alaska Department of Commerce, he says the technology and materials exist to start a wood pellet industry in Southeast, but lack of demand is the limiting factor.
At the time of the study, there was only 190 tons worth of pellets that were being consumed in Southeast Alaska, and statewide, only 2,400 tons of pellets were being consumed. The Sea Alaska Plaza is projected to burn 280 tons of wood pellets. So, you know, we've more than doubled the Southeast Alaska demand for wood pellets. And it's going to take a number of installations like the Sea Alaska Plaza to grow that demand up to a point where you can bring in a wood pellet mill that would most likely be situated either in Ketchikan or the Prince of Wales area.
Sobolev says if high-quality pellets could be produced locally at a competitive price, Sea Alaska would likely buy from a local source. He says some small mills and businesses, including Tongass Forest Enterprises in Ketchikan and Viking Lumber in Craig, have considered production of wood pellets, but Sobolev does not believe small-scale efforts would be cost-effective.
When it comes down to these smaller mills, you're going to have a lot of the same capital infrastructure costs that you might as well have a larger mill. A pellet is, you're trying to produce the widget at the cheapest price, and you're competing with the lowest price competitor, be it electric or oil. So, there's a lot of uphill battles, and everything is all about volume. This is a bulk moving industry. Everything is about producing it cheaply, moving it efficiently.
Sobolev says a new industry would only be successful if the demand is large enough to support it. He says conversion of large commercial buildings would be the first step in bringing a wood pellet production plant to the region. Once demand increases, he says job opportunities would extend beyond construction and operation of a biomass plant. Workers would be needed to install and service equipment and to deliver the wood pellets. Plans are currently underway in Ketchikan to convert the boilers at the Federal Building, Coast Guard Base, and Southeast Alaska Discovery Center to wood pellet technology. In Ketchikan, I'm Maria Dudzak.
Ever wonder what's happening with your street during a snowstorm? Ever dodged a snowplow? Ever wonder who's plowing your roads? KHNS spoke to Tyler Johnson down at the Haynesboro Public Works to lift the lid off the mysteries.
Well, we have two loaders that are equipped with plows, and then one motor grader and a plow truck, a larger plow truck, and a sand truck with a belly blade on it for more of the icy roads. It's Ralph Orders and John Spencer, and then Bruce Smith is on the plow truck, and myself. If there's 3 to 4 inches, then we come out. We pretty much break everything out. Each piece of equipment has a different route, different part of town that it plows specifically. So basically, there's a decent amount of snowfall, all the equipment goes out. The difference between the sanding and the grading, it's kind of a waste of time to sand if it's still snowing, because we have to plow, and putting sand down on the roads that we haven't plowed, and then we go by and plow the snow and the sand back off the road. So generally we wait until the snowfall is stopped, until we're done plowing to go out and sand the roads and the intersections and stuff. And I think maybe people don't quite understand that whole process, is that we can't really put the sand down until we've completed our plow routes and the snow is stopped, because again, it's a pretty common misconception about, we get a lot of calls about sanding the roads. And we don't do the Chilkat Center, Cathedral and Piedad, Tanani Bay, we do not do that, Letnikoff, and like the public schools, we don't do Riverview Road, Dalton Trail, Blue Tack Dock, and then all the state roads. The state actually owns Haynes Highway and Main Street.
But why is it that occasionally they don't seem to get to your favorite street? Tyler clarifies the process for us.
We're aware of all the roads that need plowing, and we may not have enough time in the day to get to all of them, just kind of depending on what's going on during the day. And then we do have occasional breakdowns and things of that nature, but we do know, and we will get to all the roads that need plowed, and to be patient with the process, because all the guys here work really hard and do a good job at what they're doing. So we just don't have enough time. We're limited by budgeting and things too, as far as how many hours and things we can work over here, and it's kind of an issue sometimes, because we just can't get to everything all the time in one single day. So it may take up to two or possibly even a third day to complete everything that needs doing.
How can you improve your relationship with these hulking creatures of the white?
Well, I mean, the one thing, of course, is always be safe, and lights. We see a lot of people driving without lights on in snowstorms and things of that nature. And so, I mean, safety is a number one priority. We don't want to see anybody hurt or anything like that. And so, make yourself visible or make yourself seen if you're on foot. Don't approach a piece of equipment without having the operator's attention directly. Most people are pretty good if they're walking, and we try to pay attention. We'll stop and acknowledge whoever's on the roadway, and that way you can have some nonverbal communication as where a pedestrian needs to go. So basically just letting the operator know that you're there in some fashion and make sure he sees you if you're walking, and just turn your lights on in your car primarily for safety. Basically, I mean, slow down. We see you. Our biggest thing is just to slow down and be patient. You know, the loaders are large and they're maneuverable, but there's a lot going on there. So basically to slow down and negotiate the situation carefully instead of just blowing right by.
And so the answer is patience, vigilance, common sense, and more patience. And if you don't practice these virtues, if you leave your car by the side of the road in a haphazard fashion...
I think the worst that's happened up here in the bigger snows is that there's been a car or two that's been buried in the snow and actually ends up being picked up by one of the loaders and kind of rolled up onto the top of a snow pile. So when the snow gets deep. So sometimes you just can't tell if vehicles are there or not, especially if it's on a no parking snow roof.
If you have any questions about snow plows or the roads, call 766-2282 in Haines or 983-2448 in Skagway. This is Burn Power for KHNS News. Tara Bicknell returns in January.